Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This is now about the end of our third week of teaching on a better way to pray. And I tell you, I have enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed it, but I spent the first 2 weeks countering a lot of wrong conceptions, religious things. We took the lead of Jesus when he was teaching on prayer. He taught against what prayer was not and exposed a lot of hypocrisy in prayer. And so I spent 2 weeks doing that. But this week, I've been just focusing on what is the primary purpose of prayer. And I've used a lot of scriptures and talked about that it's basically just to love God and to fellowship with God. And if we would put the main thing, keep the kingdom of God first in our prayer life and not, you know, digress into just selfish things where we're always asking God to give us this and do this and help us with this. And there's a place for those kind of things. God told us to make our requests known, but it shouldn't be the primary purpose of prayer. If we would keep seeking the kingdom of God, the first thing in our life, then we wouldn't have as many problems. It'd be just like we have been weatherproofed or somehow or another protected against a lot of the things that penetrate other people, and things would just work so much better. I've been talking about from John 3:16 that the purpose of our salvation wasn't just to get our sins forgiven, but rather it was so that we could have eternal life. And according to John 17:3, that means intimate relationship with God. A person who has asked for the forgiveness of their sins and has faith that they are not going to go to hell, but instead go to heaven. And yet if they aren't enjoying the presence of the Lord and aren't in just constant fellowship with the Lord, they are missing the real purpose of salvation. Now that's different. Most people today see are preaching things just the opposite. The church, by and large, is trying to scare people out of hell, saying that you're going to hell, repent or else, turn or burn. And it is true that hell is a real option. And that is, if that was all there was to salvation, it would be worth preaching the truth to get people to do that. But the gospel is specifically talking about so much more than just being redeemed from the wrath of God, but rather we have actually been ushered into a relationship where God is now our loving Heavenly Father. And we can have an intimacy with Him. And that is the wonderful benefit of salvation, and yet most Christians don't experience that. And one of the reasons for it is because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Most Christians haven't had intimacy, eternal life, relationship with God presented to them as the goal of salvation. So there isn't any faith for it. They've been told that you got to get born again so you won't go to hell. And once they get born again, then they've had that need satisfied. And here's kind of the logic or the mindset of most people. Once you get born again, if your concern was that I'm going to hell, I've got to make Jesus my Lord so I won't die and go to hell. And once you make Jesus your Savior and you receive that salvation and you get that fear dealt with and this problem solved, then you know what? Most people only do a minimal amount of things so that they can maintain their salvation and have an assurance that they're going to go to heaven instead of to hell. And so they do just the minimum things because relationship with God wasn't the goal of their salvation. I tell you, that is an amazing statement, and that is absolutely true. This is why so many people who claim to be Christians and may truly be born again and going to heaven, they don't have any victory in their life. It's because it wasn't presented to them. The goal, the reason that they released their faith in the first place was so that they wouldn't die and go to hell. And once they reach that objective, then basically they're just treading water, trying to do as little as possible so that they can enjoy their life and they look forward to when we all get to heaven. That's when it's going to be worthwhile serving God. But I tell you, that kind of preaching, that kind of presentation, which is primarily what has been done through the church, is missing the real purpose, the primary purpose of salvation. And likewise, our prayers have been missing this ingredient of this intimacy with God. But this is what God created man for. You know, again, many times it's presented that the reason that God saved us is because He needed a worker. He needs somebody to do something. And people say, you need to do a work for God. You need to get out there and lead somebody to the Lord or do something. And there are many people, I know that I experienced this. I used to think that the only justification for my existence on this earth was to go out and do a work for God. I mean, if God just wanted to bless me, then He'd take me to heaven. The reason He left me here was because He wants to use me. And I was a human doing instead of a human being. And I got to where it was all about I got to do something for God. But you know, the Lord has changed that around and shown me that if there was nobody to minister to, He loves me and He would have died for me if there was no one else. Let me show you some scriptures on this. In Revelation chapter 4, this is a look into what's going on in heaven. And it talks about the 24 elders and the four beasts that are before God. And they do nothing day and night except just worship God and thank Him. You know, some people think, well, boy, that would be boring. Well, that's because you've never seen the glory of God. You know, if you are only looking at it from a human perspective in a carnal way, well, then that may sound boring to you. But if you ever see the true glory of God, if you have an experience where your spiritual eyes are opened up and you get just the tiniest glimpse of how awesome God is, then you know what? You'll change that attitude and you'll get to a place to where 100 million years in heaven wouldn't be enough to thank God and praise God for how awesome He is. I know some of you may not relate to what I'm saying, but that's because we become so carnal, not because God isn't that glorious. I tell you, God is awesome. And in heaven, all they're doing is just day and night praising God. And here's what they say in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, this is really important. This is super important that you get this. Here's these living creatures, the 24 elders, praising God. And here's what they're saying. God, You are worthy because for Your pleasure, everything, every person was and are created. The way that it's stated, this was God's original purpose, and it is still God's purpose. Now, that is really significant because that tells you why God created everything, specifically Adam and Eve. Why did God create human beings? It wasn't just so that they could go do a work for Him, so that He could have somebody to accomplish things. He needed some more workers, so He created some more workers. No, this says that the reason He created Adam and Eve was for His pleasure. God gets pleasure out of us. God loves us. Another way of saying this is God created man for fellowship. God loved us. And you know, any person who loves also has a need to have that love returned unto them. You know, this is what we make tragedies out of and dramas and things like this. It's tragic when somebody loves another person and they don't get any love back. And I mean, those are heart-wrenching stories that you see about that. Well, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says that. And God created mankind to love and to receive love back from. He wanted communion, fellowship, relationship with someone. And that's the reason also that He gave mankind a free will and gave us the opportunity to sin if we wanted to. Because if He hadn't have given us choice, we would have been like a robot. That we would have said, I love you because He programmed us to do that. And because there was no option and because there was no other option. But see, God did give us an option because He wanted us to say that we loved Him of our own free will. He wanted it to be so. He didn't want to have to push a button and have us like a robot say, I love you. But He wanted us out of our own free will to respond to Him and tell Him how much we love Him. Because He loves us and He wants that fellowship and that love returned. This is why He created us. This is not only the original purpose. It says we were and still are created for this purpose. Did you know many things have changed totally from what they were in the original? You know, originally there was no need for a church because the word church means called out ones. It means that there was corruption and God calls them away and makes us saints. The word saint means set apart. Set apart from what? From those who aren't set apart, from those who aren't seeking God. Did you know that originally there was no need for the church? But because of sin, now the church is real and the church is God's agent on the earth. And man, I am sold on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not anti-church, but I'm saying that that is actually a reaction to sin. Government is a reaction to sin. Money is a reaction to sin. So much of what we deal with on a daily basis is necessary and valid because of the corruption that's in the world through sin. But did you know that fellowship with God is something that God created for Adam and Eve to have with Him? He met with them in the cool of the evening and fellowshiped with them when they were sinless, before there was anything to ask for or do. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So God's original purpose for creating mankind was to love and fellowship with and have that love and fellowship returned unto Him. That was the original purpose, and it's still God's purpose. And I tell you, when you begin to start just loving God, not praising Him because you're trying to get something from Him, manipulation. Of course, all of us are familiar with this. Our kids will do that. Our kids will come in, "Oh, Dad, you're just so wonderful." And you say, "What do you want?" You know, it's a shame, but that happens in relationships. It happens all of the time. But when you purify your motive to where you just really love God, not because you're trying to get something from Him, but because you really do love Him, I tell you what, it changes everything. I don't have the words to get that across to you, but the whole Christian life really flows out of this intimate relationship with God. If you do that, everything works better. When you do have a need and you speak, there will be power because faith works by love. But if you don't have that love relationship, you can go through all of the things that I'm telling you. You can follow my guidelines on what faith is, and you can mimic and say things the way that I do, and it won't have the same results for you that it has for me because you don't have the same degree of relationship and love operating in you that operates in me. I'm telling you, I just don't know how to get this across, but this is the heart of everything, and most people are missing this, and in prayer, they are using prayer to beseech God, to beg God, to twist God, to manipulate God, to do all of these things. They're using it for everything except just loving God. That is the primary purpose of prayer. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, there's an instance where Paul and Silas were thrown into the Philippian jail because they had been preaching the gospel. They had been beaten. I mean, their backs were just laid open, and yet they were thrown in the darkest, deepest part of the prison. Their hands and feet were put in the stocks so that they couldn't even get comfortable. They couldn't do anything to relieve the pain in their back and to deal with these open wounds. It was a terrible situation, and yet in the midst of that situation, they started praising God. And you know, most people, when they're in a terrible situation and they're hurt like that, they don't praise God. Instead, they gripe and complain. But there are a few people who have heard about how that praise stills the enemy and the avenger. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. And so they will praise God through gritted teeth, not because they truly love God, but because they are using this praise, thinking that if I'll just stroke God's ego a little bit, if I will give Him a little bit of praise, then I can get Him to do what I want Him to do. They wouldn't say it in those words, but I can guarantee there's people that that's exactly what they do. They will praise God. They've heard somebody preach on it, but it's not because they are truly loving God. It's because they're doing it to try and get something from God. Manipulation. And, you know, in the 16th chapter of Acts, the point I was talking about is that Paul and Silas started singing and praising God at midnight. And they were doing it, and God got to listening. He got to patting His foot to their music. And man, here an earthquake came. It opened up all of the doors. It made their chains fall off of them. The stocks were opened up. But here's the amazing thing. Now, it's not only amazing that God sent an earthquake that didn't destroy anything. It just set all the prisoners free. It was a supernatural earthquake. But that's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is that when this earthquake came and not only set Paul and Silas free, but every person in the prison free, none of them left. You know, the scripture says that Paul and Silas sang praises and the prisoners heard them. And if you look that word heard up in the Greek, it means they hung on every word. There was such an anointing. I believe that these ungodly men, possibly women that were in that prison, that were in for murder or thievery or who knows what else they were in this prison for. These people heard somebody with a pure heart worshiping God and loving God. And there was such a power, such an anointing on it. They were so touched by that, that when their jail cells opened up and their chains fell off, they were holding on to every word that Paul and Silas were saying to such a degree that they forgot their own personal situation. They forgot their own personal needs. They forgot escaping and running away. Man, they were so caught up in the presence of God that nothing else mattered. Their personal freedom didn't matter. I'm sure some of them were probably facing death sentences. And yet their life didn't matter because they had been touched in their heart. They finally understood and probably felt and experienced the presence of God. And they would rather be in prison facing execution with the presence of God than be out free without the presence of God. Boy, that's a radical statement. But see, that's what this does. And Paul and Silas praised God not on the way to something else. It wasn't just a step to manipulate and to get God in a good mood so then he would answer their prayer and set them free. Radical thought, but they were praising God because they really loved God. And even with their backs beaten and in the stocks and at midnight, they were so in love with God that they couldn't help it. They just broke out in song. And an entire prison got born again, got saved. Boy, that's powerful. Brothers and sisters, there's many people today who are claiming to be Christians. And they may be Christians. They may be born again and on their way to heaven. Their security, their future may be secure. You know, I can't really judge every individual. So I believe it's possible that a person could only put faith in Jesus as Savior just for the purpose of getting their sins forgiven and entering into heaven. And if that's all that's been preached to them, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I believe that there are people who live at that level and they are born again. But I can guarantee you the vast majority of born again people have not entered into eternal life, a relationship with God, where that is center place. It's the dominant thing in their life, and it's certainly not the dominant focus of their prayer life. And because of it, man, they're stressed out, they're depressed, they're discouraged. They're trying to fill an emptiness that's on the inside of them with material things, thinking a new house, a new car, a new wife would solve all of their problems, not recognizing that what they just need is this relationship with God. I tell you, when you get into the presence of God, when you get into the flow to where you are doing what He originally created us to do, just give Him pleasure, just to bless God, to thank Him. When you get into that flow and you're living like that, your whole life changes so dramatically that it just changes you. You're transformed. There is no way that I can express this. But hopefully, I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you and that you're just seeing this as a goal. One of the main things is most people have never had what I'm saying presented to them. They don't even know that this is possible, much less something that God originally created them for. They just feel that God saved them because He felt sorry for us because we were headed to hell. But because He was passionate about us and loved us and God wants to spend time with you, that there's something that you could say to Him in prayer that would bless God. Most people have never thought that. And again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Most people have never thought this. They just don't understand that God wants you, not just what you can do. If God gets you, I guarantee you, He will get your service. You know what? I serve God and I do a lot of things. And I do some things that in the natural I wouldn't be prone to do. But man, there's times that I deny myself. There's times that I minister when I am just worn out and I don't in the natural feel like doing it. But you know what? I'll do anything that I believe God wants me to do because of what He's done for me. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says, the love of Christ constrains us. Paul laid his life down. He fought with beasts at Ephesus, is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. He struggled. He was beaten with whips. He was beaten with rods. That's where they hang you up and break the bones in the back of your legs and in your feet and ankles. He was shipwrecked. He was put in prison. He was persecuted. He did without. And why? Because he had to do those things trying to earn God's favor? Nope. It was a result of, a byproduct of, the fruit of the fact that he knew God loved him. Though that kind of commitment only comes out of relationship with God. You can't use that. That kind of commitment won't get you to relationship with God. You know, before I understood the grace of God, I tried to earn God's favor. I did things. I started special youth visitations. I would knock on 10 doors a week and think I had done God a great favor. But after I experienced the love of God and after I fell in love with the Lord and began to experience, I mean, an intimate, close, personal relationship with God, what the Bible calls eternal life. After I experienced that, did you know what? I quit this visitation night where I knocked on 10 doors a week, and I started knocking on 100 doors a day. I started talking to everything that moved. Man, I didn't love God less. I loved Him much, much more. I'm telling you, if you would just make the main thing the main thing, if you would use prayer primarily to love God and build your relationship and just praise Him and worship Him and listen and let God speak to you. If it was all about relationship, you would serve God more accidentally than you ever have on purpose before. God gets your heart. He'll get your wallet. He'll get your service. He'll get your commitment. You could lay down your life and die for Him. I can guarantee you I'd be willing to die for my faith in the Lord because of my relationship with Him. People won't do that for a doctrine, but they will do that for a person whom they know. And I'm just encouraging you that you need to enter into this eternal life, into intimate, close, personal relationship with God. And if you'll use that as the primary purpose of your prayer, everything will change.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The third audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY23 titled, The Primary Purpose of Prayer When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month, and you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there. Just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
There are accounts that I read when I was there in Rome of Christians fighting with each other to see which one got to go out and die first, because they recognized the presence of God and that the Lord was so real to these people who were being martyred that other people were envious and they were willing to run out and offer their lives so that they could experience that presence of God. You know what? That's a depth of relationship that many quote-unquote Christians today have never even thought about and certainly wouldn't operate that way.